There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know I'm not wealthy. These clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. To me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a warm place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Amen. We'll go ahead and dismiss our kids to Children's Church at this time. Please and turn with me to the book of Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Bit of transparency with you. I wanted to continue in Hebrews chapter 11 because we had taken a brief break from that, getting ready for missions conference. We were looking through some of the lives of men and women in the Old Testament that the Bible talks about. The elders obtained a good report by faith, and so I've been enjoying that study. And there were three more today that we were going to cover, and yet as I was looking at them, I was thinking about it, and I said, Lord, So I looked to a different part of Scripture, and I looked to something that I needed for the day and studied a passage, and so I'm going to share with you what I needed, all right? So you guys get to listen in. And Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." I want to preach to you this morning a message I've entitled Conditional Peace. Before we have a word of prayer, there's a couple things I just wanted to mention. Do continue to be in prayer for Brother and Sister Cooper as they're caring for Sister Cooper's parents up in Brooksville. That's the Pattersons, as they're making decisions about their family and how they're going to best take care of them. Be in prayer for them. Also be in prayer for Sister Dolores Cohn. She continues to deal with discouragement. She's at home and just desperately needs it. And just pray for her, pray for us. Pray for Miss Vita this morning. She has a broken arm. She'd no doubt like to be with us, and that's a difficult thing. And then for Brother Gary Gordon, I was notified this morning that he has pneumonia. He's in Florida Hospital, and be in prayer for him. And then Robin Melinda Hoggett and Gordon are homesick. So we have some folks to to keep on our prayer list. And we're glad that Sister Beth Lee's back with us. We love you, sis. Miss you when you're gone. Glad you're well. So would you bow with me today as we pray? Lord, we come before you today just thankful that you even listened to us. Thank you for the gift of prayer that we have because we're your children through Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up these of our family that are not well. I know they'd like to be here, battling with different things and just things in their lives, things that are difficult. I pray, God, that you would heal them, that you would restore them, that you would guide them, that you would give them your peace, and that these circumstances would be a platform by which the world around them would see your glory. Lord, I pray that you'd do the same in our lives. Be with us today as we study your word, that you'd speak to us. Speak through me, Lord, please, that you'd meet our needs, convict us, challenge us, change us, make us more like yourself. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, this promise, if you look at verses 6 and 7, this is one of those classic name it, claim it passages that people like to say, oh, you know, that's a promise from God. I'm going to name it and claim it. By the way, it's a promise whether you name it and claim it or not, okay? God doesn't cease to be true to his word because you forget to claim things. But, you know, this promise is conditional, and that's the way many of God's promises are. They are conditional. God makes a promise, but then he tells you something that you need to do before it personally takes root in your life. And so I ask you, have you stopped to meditate on it lately? I think one of the greatest struggles we have is how to find or deal with frustration, disappointment, things that let us down, people that let us down. The unknown, that inner turmoil between what we want, we're idealistic, let's face it. That inner turmoil between what we want and what is real. And a lot of times it gets us all worked up. Some of us are more high strung than others, okay? Maybe you don't struggle with it as much as others, but some of us might, all right? But I believe these simple words give us direction and really a prescription. Can I tell you this? God does not want us to be constantly frustrated. He does not want us to be wound tight and disturbed. He wants us to be at peace and to understand that turmoil and worry is really a lack of faith. The promised peace here is conditional, though. Now, it seems like an impossible command. Verse 6 says, look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Literally means to be filled with care, overcome with anxiety. And it says, for nothing, don't allow anything to cause you to be overcome with worry. We as children of God, the one true God, by the way, okay, there are many gods that are worshipped, but there's only one that is true and that is real. That's the reality of the situation. He's the God of all the earth. He's the God of reality, the one who sits on the throne, who is in control of all, who loves you. And he exhorts you not to be full of worry for any reason. And by the way, this is a commandment. That means that we need to obey it. It's not a suggestion. It was said this morning in Sunday school, God didn't give us 10 suggestions in Exodus. They're commandments. So why does God even give us this commandment? Well, you know why. Because we live in a world that is anxious, that is worked up into a frenzy. You turn on the evening news and they say, good evening, and they spend an hour telling you why it's not a good evening, right? We're told to worry about everything. GMOs and PCBs and CO2 and global warming and solar flares and superbugs and flu season and Russians. Worry about it. No, don't worry about it, okay? Even the things we have in our lives to keep us safe can kill us. You remember when the whole Takata airbag scan? I mean, you might still be driving a car with a defective airbag that when you get in a wreck, it'll take your head off. Prescription drugs cause deaths every year. They're given to us to heal us, but they cause us problems. Even seatbelts, if you don't wear them right. And so we're warned about everything. We have warning labels on everything. You buy a new hairdryer and it says, don't use it in the shower. As if, right? And it's no wonder why people medicate themselves and try to escape reality. Anxiety medications and alcohol and fantasy, and they live in a virtual reality world. You can do virtual reality everything because it reduces the risk. You can even go deer hunting in virtual reality. Crockett, you want to do that? No. He says no. This is a commandment because we struggle with this in our reality. We recognize that danger is there, and in part that does keep us safe, but sometimes it can be too much. And it's a commandment of care because God loves you, friend. He watches over you. He cares for you. And just as you would console your children, it's okay, don't be afraid, so too God does us. Don't be overcome. Don't be possessed or controlled by the fear in the world around you. Now, it doesn't please God for us to live in fear or be overcome and possessed by anxiety and turmoil. The most frequent commandment in the Word of God is, fear not, 62 times in the King James Bible. It's a commandment of care, and it's a commandment of meaning. There are things that come into our lives that we cannot control. And some people, some personalities struggle with this more than others, some burdens and seasons of life. I was speaking with someone this morning and, you know, they said, I'm just tired. And I recognize that. It's not because you actively worry, but you just get burdened. God knows this. And he gives us this commandment, and it seems impossible. So the question is then, how? If I'm not to be overcome or full of care for anything, then how, God, can I overcome these things? And so God tells us this. By the way, it's not hypothetical. It's something probably that you need to obey on a daily basis. And so he says, but. Be careful for nothing, but. There's a shift in the focus. This is what you do need to do. In everything, this is a universal commandment, a universal. And by the way, this is not, I do not believe in a stick your head in the sand philosophy. God's not telling you just to ignore problems and they'll go away, okay? Que sera, sera. It's not Christian Science. If we think positive thoughts, bad things, I've got a Hebrew word for that. It's called baloney, all right? I had a professor in college that always used to say that, and I've been waiting to use it in a sermon. The truth is, you have very little control over your circumstances. You do. There are many things in your life that you cannot control. The weather, politics, economics, accidents, the actions of others, the way people respond to you. You cannot control them. Your health many times. You can do things, but let's face it, we live in bodies that are constantly rebelling. All right? Yes, things are out of your control, but the truth is this, and I want you to understand this as we study through this passage. God wants us to understand that while we cannot understand, we cannot control things, we can, by the help of God, control our spirit. Are you with me today? And so these set of instructions are to help us control our spirit. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, a universal application. There is no circumstance in your life that is too big for God. The large things that happen, God can handle them. He can. Jeremiah 32 puts it this way. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? A rhetorical question like your parents would ask you, and you know the answer. They don't necessarily want you to answer them. They just want you to know the truth. There's nothing too hard for God. Colossians puts it this way. He is before all things. By him all things consist, literally are held together, speaking of Jesus Christ. He is our God, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God is capable of the large things. He's the creator and sustainer. But friend, there's no circumstance too small for him either. He loves you and he wants to hear from you. Luke chapter 12 reassures us in that way. It says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And yet not one of them is forgotten before God. God knows the sparrows on the earth. He cares for them. Elsewhere we're told how that he clothes the flowers of grass, and yet here today and gone tomorrow. And you know how that is. It's an illustration. And so the Bible follows it up by saying this, even not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore ye, whoever you are this morning, if you're here today, if you're hearing this, if you're reading the Word of God, if you're under the sound of my voice and maybe not, God knows you and loves you, and there's nothing too small in your life that is too small for him. With every request, in everything, it says. The elements of our life, the circumstances we ought to bring before God. In everything, notice what it says next, by prayer and supplication. Verse 6. In everything, by prayer and supplication. That word prayer is just a generic term for speaking with God. And whenever this might help you, it helps me, whenever we think of prayer, do you realize that prayer is literally a meeting with God? It's not as if you're just sending out mail and hope that maybe it finds its address, okay? When God's people pray, they do not just speak words into the air and hope that maybe their words contain power. We don't believe in a word faith movement where your words create power. No, that's not the focus at all. It is this, that when you as a child of God pray, it is a meeting with God Almighty. And the potential for a meeting is the power of the people involved in the meeting. And so in a very real sense, you have heaven's power at your disposal when you pray. You understand that's what prayer is. It's a meeting with God. And so in response to things that would fill you with care, you meet with the God who is in control, spending time with God. When you're out of control, it's important to meet with someone who is in control. So what should I talk to God about when these things happen, when my life on a daily basis is things happen in my life? Well, I believe we should worship Him. Sincere communication with God. Draw nigh to God. James chapter 4 says that. It says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. We worship a God who responds when we come to Him. Do you understand that? There are many religions out there where people have to tender the heart of their created God by sacrificing things or doing this or doing that. God loved us while we were yet sinners. And so how much more now as children of God will He listen to us? There's never a time when He's not awake, out of sorts, or in a bad mood. I know as a parent sometimes if I'm trying to take a nap and my children come to me for the 20th time wanting a popsicle, I might tell them to get lost, all right? But I love my kids, but there's a time when I just don't want to be bothered. I can't hear them all at once. God's not like that. He loves us. We should come to worship to Him. And I would say, secondly, confession. Take care of any hindrance to fellowship. James 4, where it says, draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. The second half of the first says, cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Sometimes the reason why things bring turmoil is because that fellowship with God has been broken by our sin that we've not confessed. Do you realize that as a child of God, you don't lose your relationship with God, but you can be out of fellowship with Him if you have sin in your life? That can definitely break our peace. The Word of God acknowledges that. And in 1 John it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's never a wrong time to get right with God. Sometimes that anxiety that we have, we need to have that. Because we're at odds with God. We're not living like He wants us to. And though He has not gone anywhere, we have in our hearts. And we're pursuing sin. And when you're not right with God, your circumstances will be a lot harder to handle, Christian. They really will be. Worship, confession. And by the way, let me say this. A heart free from sin is ready to be filled by God's peace. And so by all means, we need to go to Him in worship and in confession. Look at the text here in verse 6. It says, in everything by prayer and, notice that next word, supplication. That means to ask God for things. Not just a casual request, but a definite request. Fervent. Strong petition. Pray about the circumstances you're in. Pray for God's help, that God would change them. He is God. He can do things. He created the universe. He desires to work on your behalf. When was the last time you were faced with worry or anger or frustration and you went to somebody else instead of God about it? Think about that in your life. I'm not asking for a show of hands because many of us, that's our human response. Many times when we struggle with things, Instead of wanting a solution, we want an ally so that we feel good about being at odds with somebody else. Isn't that the way our spirit is? Yeah. This person did something to me and I'm at odds with them. And you know what? I need to be validated. So I'm going to go find somebody else that'll make me feel good. And we'll be mean to that other person together in our own. No, no. Let's go to the Lord about it. All right. Go to him about the circumstances. And maybe just maybe, instead of the circumstances, we need to pray that God would change us. Do you realize that God is more concerned with your relationship to him than he is about your circumstances? The work that God is doing in your life is about making you into the image of Jesus Christ. That is really his primary goal in your life. And that really, that's more important to him than the circumstances that surround you. They will come and they will go, but his eternal purpose in your life from before the world began was that when you came to him for salvation, you would begin this process of conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ. Sometimes those circumstances that you're at odds with, they're part of that process. Pray for a change in your life. That God would show that to you. Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we ought to come before the God of heaven and say, "Lord, I recognize that I don't know what you're doing in my life. This is difficult to deal with right now. Change me or change the circumstances." That's a good prayer. But then next it says, with supplications, but also with, this seems really out of sorts. Why would that be in there? It says, with, what's that next word? Thanksgiving. When I've got a problem, when I'm at odds, when I'm have turmoil inside, when things are not going right, you mean I have to be thankful? That sounds strange. But do you realize this element's of utmost importance? Oh my goodness. Thanksgiving, Christian, really is a way of counseling ourselves. How so? Well, thanksgiving is a response for what God has already done. Do you realize that no matter what is going on in your life, and I'm not belittling, if you have circumstances that are just devastating, weighing you down this morning, regardless of whatever else is going on, if you're a child of God, God has moved heaven and earth to establish a relationship between you and him. Regardless of whatever else is going on, you have much to be thankful for. See, thanksgiving is a response for what God has already done. What has God done for you that is good? Has he protected? Has he provided? Has he been faithful? Has he promised to be faithful in the future? Absolutely he has. Has he been gracious? Yes. Has he forgiven your often transgressions? I know he has me. God is so good. And by the way, let me say this. You say, "Pastor, when things are going on, I don't feel very thankful." Well, I'm glad the Bible didn't command us to feel thankful. It told us to be thankful and to give thanks. There's a big difference between giving thanks and feeling thankful. To give thanks does not mean that you're overwhelmed by a feeling of gratitude. It means that you consciously choose to think of the things that God has done for you and to say thank you for them, to give him glory for them. And so in the midst of something that you're not really thankful for, I really do not feel overwhelmed with gratitude about these circumstances right now. But I can think of things that God has done for me. I'm aware of what God has done for me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. God has forgiven me. He's given me life today. He's given me hope for tomorrow. And when this life is over, I know that for me, death is a graduation into eternity where God is preparing a home for me. I have much to be thankful for. Though I may not be overcome with a feeling of gratitude, I can say thank you to God for many things. And do you realize when you do that, that it changes the way that you're feeling? When you choose to do that, is it hard? Yes. And it builds our faith. It builds our confidence in God. I believe this is what Paul the Apostle meant when he says, "For which cause also I suffer these things." He's in the midst of suffering. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not sorry for it. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." I'm enduring persecution, but it doesn't sound as if Paul the Apostle is at all sorry about it. He said, "Because I have hope for tomorrow. I know the God that I worship, and I'm thankful for what he's done." In that way, thanksgiving builds our faith, and it really builds our contentment. I think of what Isaiah says in Isaiah 26:3. This was one of my first life's verses. The prophet there is writing during a difficult time. The nation was in turmoil. There was war. They were in destitution. And you know what he says? He says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." It doesn't mean that everything else changes immediately or that all of my problems go away, but it means that the goodness and the faithfulness of my God in that moment becomes of greater reality than the things that I'm struggling with. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Is that a person in prayer and in worship and in response of obedience? Absolutely it is. And it says, "because he trusteth in thee." I don't trust in my circumstances for tomorrow, but in the God of heaven. Look down at verse 8. These are the things we can think about. "Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." See, within every day and every circumstance, there is good and there is evil around us. And sometimes the people that are grumpy, like Eeyore, they pride themselves in being people plugged into reality. But can I tell you, the fact that God is in control and working on your behalf is a far greater reality than the things around you. For the things that you struggle with are temporary, are temporal, and they will not last forever. But the relationship that you have with God, the goodness that he is performing on your behalf, is eternal, friend. That is the greater reality. And so the response of obedience, when we go to him in prayer, when we focus on him, when we ask, when we pray, when we give thanksgiving, we're choosing to focus on the greater reality. And the promise comes through. Look at the reward for obedience. Verse 6 or verse 7. "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Many times we're frustrated because we want to bypass verse 6 and go straight to verse 7. I want this peace. I want this absence of inner turmoil. I want to be just, but it doesn't come without us relying on him first. How soon does this happen? How quickly does this prescription take place? Well, friend, I believe it's a lifelong pursuit. I don't know that there's ever a point where you reach inner peace that you never struggle with it again. I think many times we have to continually do this. This special peace of God can only come from God. It does not come from medications or alcohol or entertainment or shopping sprees or hobbies or meditation. It comes from being connected from the God of the universe. "The peace that passeth all understanding." I think it's interesting because it says here that passeth all understanding. Many of the truths in the Bible are not given so much that you can comprehend them. There are many things about God that I can read and I can believe, but in my puny brain I cannot begin to understand. Has anybody been there? Yeah. Okay. As a teacher, as a pastor, as a preacher, sometimes I'll be studying a truth and I'll begin to have the veil lifted, and I say, "Oh, I'm beginning to get it." And it's almost as if I'm putting my arms around this truth, and I'm beginning to understand it. And then all at once, poof, it's okay, it's greater than me. All right, God, yes, you're greater than I am, but I can believe it. I can live in accordance with it. The peace that comes from being with God cannot be explained humanly. And many times, Christians, do you realize, I said this Wednesday night, I believe that many of the circumstances in your life, though they are working to make you like Jesus Christ, sometimes God doesn't remove them because his purpose His purpose is for you to demonstrate in the midst of a circumstance that brings absolute turmoil to the world, for you as a child of God to demonstrate the peace that only God can give, so that you become a trophy, a platform. You become something and someone by which God shines His glory to the world, and that the world does not need to see Christians who go through life never experiencing trials. The world around us needs to see the reality of Christians going through trials by the strength of Almighty God. Amen. That's what they need to see. They need to see God's power with clothes on, and that's what you are in this world. And so sometimes God's will is not to remove the circumstance right away. Sometimes His power, His plan is to give you the power to overcome it, so that you can be a testimony to His power. Amen. It's a powerful piece. It says, shall keep your hearts and minds. That word keep has the idea of guarding or protecting something in advance. And when you continue in this obedient behavior, this is a mindset. This is not the flesh's way of dealing with difficulties. I'll be honest with you, my way of dealing with difficulties is to sit down and make a list, to get on Google and to go on YouTube and find out a way to solve it and come up with plan A and plan B and contingencies and to work all these things. That's my way. God's way is to go to Him first. He's far better than Google. Amen. You can trust Him. Better than WebMD. Oh my goodness. Don't trust that. But notice, not a powerful peace only and a special peace, but it's the person of peace. You see this here. It says, shall keep your hearts and minds through, what's those last two words? Say it again. Through Christ Jesus. The real reason prayer gives anyone peace is because when you respond to the counterattack on your spirit, when you respond to that by going to the person of Jesus Christ, He's the Prince of Peace. He can help you in the midst of things going on in your life. You realize the people you spend time around have a dramatic influence on you, whether you want them to or not, all right? Every mother that has children will testify to that. You know, they say, I just got to get away from these kids. Kids are chaotic. You know, they drive you nuts. And then after they're grown up and leave the house, you say, I wish they'd come back. So God sends you grandkids to wreck your lives a little bit. But you can send them home. The people you spend time with have a dramatic influence on who you are. So what happens when you respond to turmoil, when you respond to worry, when you respond to these things by spending time with the one who's in control, by the one who loves you, who can strengthen you to do everything that He calls you to do? For God, the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that doesn't mean everything that I conceive. It means everything that He commands me to do. What has God commanded me to do? Well, He's commanded me to fear not. He's commanded me to trust Him. He's commanded me to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. He's commanded me to live in the light of His power. I can do that. Regular communication with God, regular thanksgiving to God, and it results in greater faith and the presence of God in our life. Those who live in worry and anxiety, they pride themselves of living in reality. The fact is, they're ignoring the greater reality that God's in control. And worry does not solve our problems. Anxiety does not. And people that struggle with those, they know that. Many times they're overcome. But Christian, you don't have to be. The realm of the spirit is the realm of the mind and the inner man, and there is no reason for a Christian indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God to live that way. But for the fact that we don't obey this on a frequent basis. Matthew chapter 6, God said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And we also often stew over these things. The struggles of life are real. Our frustrations, the threat of the future struggle, it's real. But the truth of our God is an even greater reality. Our memory verse this morning, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. God is your God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So I'm going to ask you this morning, You've come today bearing burdens. Maybe you didn't need this message today, but you will this week. Probably when you leave here and you get out into traffic. All right? Yeah. That's right. It doesn't matter what it is. Well, Pastor, it's a small thing. Well, if it's big enough to cause you a bad mood, it's big enough for you to respond this way. It's a big thing. I just can't overcome it. Maybe you don't need to overcome it. But by God's grace, you can bring control to your spirit in the midst of it with God's help. So what's the greater reality? God's ability or your anxiety? God's power or your problems? God's wisdom or your worry? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Conditional, yes, but it's there. You know, as we close, three questions. How much time have you spent with the one who controls the universe this past week? He's not out of control. Whatever is going on in your life, it's real, it's personal. And by the way, it is large many times. People say, what's the difference between minor surgery and major surgery? Minor surgery is surgery that they do on you. Major surgery is what happens on me. Okay, that's the big difference. If it's happening in your life, God cares about it. There's a reason the scripture says, pray without ceasing. You don't wait until you have problems to talk to God. It should be an ongoing conversation with Him. The first response, have you stopped to worship Him lately? Come to Him as the solution, thanked Him for what He has done? Talk to the Lord this week. It'll do you good. How do you respond to strife, worry, and turmoil? Second question. Do you respond by going to God about it? He's the solution. And then thirdly, do you know the God of peace today? Maybe you're here this morning and you're talking about all these things. You hear me talking about them. You say, Pastor, those are nice words, okay? But I don't know what you're talking about. I read the Bible and I say prayers, but I don't know if God's hearing them. Well, can I tell you, friend, today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have a relationship with God. You can believe that God exists, but the Bible says in John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one way to have a relationship with the God of heaven, and that is through the person of Jesus Christ. He came to earth out of God's love, for God so loved the world, which means you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, when He gave His Son, He came to live, and He came to die on the cross, and to be raised from the dead 3 days later by the power of God. He paid for your sins, that which separates you from God. He rose from the dead and offers eternal life if you'll come to Him, if you'll trust in Him. You can have a relationship with God today through Jesus Christ and what He has done. What do you have to do? Well, nothing. You can't do anything. You simply receive it as a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You receive a gift simply by accepting it, allowing yourself to accept it. If you believe that Jesus is God, that He died for your sins and rose again, and you ask Him by faith to save you, He'll do that today. And you can know the God of peace. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart today and you need to do business with God during our invitation time, while the piano plays, I encourage you, talk to the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. You say, I believe in God. I've heard these scripture verses. I even try to pray, but I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know where I'd go for eternity. Our invitation is an awesome time. You can come and somebody will show you from the Scripture, walk you through how that you can accept Jesus Christ. If you're a man, I'll put you with a man. If you're a lady, we'll put you with a lady. You can have a relationship with God today. However God is moving in your life, respond during our invitation.